Our scripture today is 2 Corinthians 9, 6 to 15. So if you want to look at it on your phone or in your paper Bible at the same time, you're welcome to. Or you can just sit back and relax and let the dulcet tones of Pastor Jeff cascade over your ears. My sister. That was just for you, Selena. Dulcet tones. Oh, Lord, forgive me. Coming to the word. Remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in compulsion to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when you take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. So two good things will result from this ministry of giving. The needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met, and they will joyfully express their thanks to God. As a result of your ministry, they will give glory to God, for your generosity to them and to all believers will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. And they will pray for you with deep affection because of the overflowing grace God has given to you. Thank God for this gift, too wonderful for words. Last year, I got an email, ding. The email was from Revenue Canada. And I thought, oh, this can't be good. And I was right. They wanted me to submit all of my tax receipts for the last year. And so, tried to find it, found the box, pulled them all out, sent them in. And then just forgot about it. Several months later, I get an email. Ding! It's from Revenue Canada. And I think, oh, this better be good. And it wasn't. Revenue Canada says, we did not accept all of your receipts, and so you owe several hundred dollars. And I'm thinking to myself, I give all this money away, and then they make me pay? This is a mistake. I was so angry, and so I paid the fine because I'm a good trooper, and then did like what many of you would do, is I stuffed it in a box and forgot about it. Put it away. Didn't want to think about it. Several months went by, and we're here today, and it was this week, last week, and in between, several times it came up to my mind, oh, I should do that. But, you know, I was just annoyed. I was so annoyed with this whole thing, and it was getting, you know, I was beginning to have a bad attitude about charitable donations, actually. And so we come to tax season again, and I'm having to do my taxes now. And so now I'm up to this year's tax receipts. And so I figure, oh, I better dive into the old ones again. And now I get to figure out what their mistake is. And you see, I'm feeling fairly uncharitable about charities during tax season. And I'm not really happy about it. I finally went through those receipts for 2022. And oops, oh. There's one from 2021. I thought it was their mistake, but maybe I did make a mistake. Okay, there's that one. And I keep going through. Oh, here's a big one from It was supposed to be in 2023. I put it into 2022. Oh, okay, that one goes over to that pile. Oh, I'm starting to feel a little chagrined. And then I keep looking at it, and oops, oh, my carry forward from the previous year was too much. And as I was doing all of this, feeling a little less and less proud of myself, the Holy Spirit talked to me while I was doing my taxes. Have you ever had that happen? There's a first time for everything. And the Holy Spirit gave me a little nudge and said, Jeff, do you give because of the tax receipts? Are you generous for the tax credit? And I went, well, God, that's the way the system works, and that's fair. And, you know, it's only fair that I get that it's necessary for my giving in this system. And like, I really did have this back and forth in prayer in my heart. And God went, really, Jeff? And I felt him say, no, you don't. No, you don't. Remember again. Remember why you give, and remind your church. So I felt immediately better that all that pain was for your benefit. You get to live it through me. Because God was saying to me, always be generous. Paul says, yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can, say it, always be generous. Always. Always be generous. So let's leave my tax receipt story behind for a second. What does generous mean? What does generous mean? Give me some synonyms, some similar words to generous.
Giving?
You say a person's generous. What do you mean? They are?
Selfless.
Selfless? Kind.
Compassionate.
That's a generous church. Means those things. What else?
Open-handed.
Nice. Generous. Others?
Thoughtful,
self-sacrificing, ungrudging, unsparing. That's generous. The Oxford Dictionary says generous means showing a readiness to give more of something, as money or time, than is strictly necessary or expected. More than expected is generous. What's the opposite? Let's do the other. What's the opposite of generous?
Stingy.
What's the opposite?
Selfish.
Selfish? Absolutely. That's a big one. Selfish.
Tight-fisted.
Begrudging. Begrudging. Good word. Petty. Covetous. Others? Resentful. I would add grumpy. Reluctant. You know, these are not Christian adjectives, those ones. And the most famous giving verse in the Bible, you probably know it, 2 Corinthians 9:7. One of the first verses in the Bible I memorized as a new committed believer. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. My giving to charities shouldn't be reluctant, because that's the opposite of generous. My whole attitude in that tax receipt situation. My volunteering in church shouldn't be reluctant. We all look at the guys over there. Not reluctant. All happy. My giving in the community, my helping others when someone asks for help, it shouldn't be reluctant. My generosity should not be stingy, cheap, uncharitable, petty, mean, covetous, envious, begrudging, resentful, grasping, selfish, or reluctant. In this passage, in 2 Corinthians 9, Paul is summarizing to the Corinthians a whole bunch of things, how they should be generous and why. And as they read this letter, I'm sure they realized that being Christian implies that you are generous. And so this is the new series that we're starting. Generous, it's a key Christian adjective. It's a key character trait that God desires Christians to grow in. Because you know what? You can be generous without faith, but you cannot be a Christian without generosity. You can't. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. It's so central to who we are. And here's the beautiful thing about generosity. It's a positive feedback loop. And so here's our key verse for this series, Proverbs 11:25. Say it with me. The generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. And as we are generous, something begins to change in us. Like, as with many positive attributes, have you noticed this? If you want to be more loving in your marriage, do you know what you do? You act like it. You act loving. And lo and behold, as you act lovingly, then you feel and become loving. If you want more peace in your life, more contentedness, you should state what you're thankful for. Express it out loud. And if you do that regularly, you will begin to be content. And if you want to be a generous person, this verse says, refresh others and you will be refreshed. It's a positive feedback loop. And the reason this is true is that because of God. Generosity is a thing, and we ourselves are generous because there is a God, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. Generous begins with God. And then if you copy him and you're like him, if you are generous because God was generous, then he will be even more generous with you in all aspects of your life. Now, I'm not talking about money. He's not a slot machine. Although sometimes, in some circumstances, he is. I mean, he does bless financially. But the point is that in kingdom economy, generosity is this feedback loop in all sorts of ways. God is generous. We are generous. God is generous again. And so it goes. But it starts with God. We are generous because of God. And Pastor Valerie has a sermon about this. You'll hear it next week about how God is generous. So that's what she's preaching right now at Canyon. And we're on this topic today because there is a season right now called tax time that brought it to my mind. And it's a good time to talk about generosity as we go through our tax receipts. And I'm going to smile with each tax receipt. I'm going to smile and thank God. And I invite you to do that too, as you do it, to think about the generosity that represents. Our news is filled right now with like federal budget and deficit and inflation and cost of living on everything going up. And there's so much pressure on generosity. And there's so many charities in need. You know, COVID just was a wallop. And during COVID, donor giving took a huge hit. 75% of charities report a downturn in areas of their giving. 60% report reductions in volunteer hours. 30% have fewer paid staff. This is a good time to highlight again generosity. And then in the next month, we're going to be focusing on the Pregnancy Care Center. We always highlight them every year. We are very generous as a church with them. And we will be highlighting that. We'll have a couple of missionaries come and talk to us through the next couple months. I've got them lined up, and they will. I'll be talking about the areas of their ministry where we as a church are showing generosity. Our third prayer goal right now is finances to grow ministry hours, and our prayer is bless us with provision and a spirit of generosity. So, trying to build into that prayer goal. And the truth is, we like to preach about this once. We just need to remind ourselves generally on an ongoing basis, because this is an important outcome of our faith, is being generous. On the volunteer side, because generosity applies to volunteering, we just finished National Volunteer Week. Did you know it was National Volunteer Week this last week? I'm the Edgemont Community Volunteer Coordinator still with Tina Chen. And I can tell you, I know that there are studies that prove that volunteering, generosity in volunteering, builds satisfaction into people's lives. It reduces the stress and the discouragement and the loneliness, and the happiness and the satisfaction and the longevity go up. And I think it's because of a sense of belonging and purpose. And that is why Freddie Kennedy greeted you at the door this morning, because he wants to live longer. And so he volunteered. And he said, this is going to make... He saw Carolyn and Rose and Charmin doing it at the door all the time and looking more and more like Chloe. So he knew that it was going to make him younger. We are a small church, and we depend on each other's generosity in volunteering, don't we? In a small church, you have to be generous. No. We are generous because of God, because of who He is. We're just copying Him. And today I want to give you a quick overview of generosity. This is the intro sermon, and I got three questions. First question is, in what ways should we be generous? And Paul conveniently answers it. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. What does that mean? What are some different ways? Think about that. What are some different areas of your life that, or anyone's life, to be generous? What areas? With your what? Generous with your home. Generous with your home. I heard another one. Generous with your time. Generous with your, time. And time means all pile of things. Time in talents and gifts and, yeah, sorry. Happiness. Generous with your happiness. Sharing your happiness. I like that. Generous with your, what are some other positive things we should be sharing with others? Generous with your wisdom.
Encouragement.
Your listening. Your love. Have you ever thought about being generous with your encouragement, your listening, your love, your happiness? These are good. What else? Generous with your, someone say the obvious one. Money. The biggest metaphor. What else? Generous with your
presence.
Good. Yes. Oh, yeah. Be there.
Sympathy.
I like that, Tito. Yeah, be generous with your sympathy. Yeah. Be generous with your food. Funny? True. How much do we share and love with food? Generous with your prayers. Did you know that when you pray others for others, you're being generous? Because it takes time. It's work. It's emotion. Generous. We'll explore a whole bunch of different ways, okay? So you get how this series has a lot of places we can go. Our time, talents, and treasure all come from God. In the NIV, this same verse, you will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion as well. Always be generous on every occasion. Are you generous on every occasion? So no matter how good I am at being generous, I have room to grow, because that's a high bar on every occasion. Even when you get an email from Revenue Canada, on every occasion. Okay, that's the first question. Second question, why are we not? And I think we're not simply because I don't want to. It's a deep answer, but it's true. It's just inside us. We are inherently selfish. Have you ever noticed that? I mean, this is not new to Christians, because we know we are born sinful. And the first words that a child learns after mom and dad, is mine, I want, give me. Anybody watch Finding Nemo and the gulls? I love the gulls in Finding Nemo. And I don't know why we show this to children, because there's, you know, there's a fish or a crab and the gulls are all around going, mine, mine, mine. And the children all laugh because they identify that feeling that, yes, I'm greedy, I'm selfish. And, you know, we have to teach the children to share with others. It doesn't come naturally. You don't see a two-year-old going over to another two-year-old, here, play with this toy. No, that doesn't happen. We have to teach them. And you know what? Adults, we have to teach ourselves too. We have to remind ourselves, because we lose it. Because constantly countering this inherent, I don't want to, that's inside us. The second answer I have is, I can't afford to. I would like to give more, but I can't afford to. I just don't have enough money. I would like to help with this thing you're asking me about, but I don't have time to. I'm too busy. My calendar is full. I'd like to host this thing in my home or have you use my truck for this thing, but it's inconvenient for me and it might get damaged. These are things that I myself have said. And the world says to me, bravo, Jeff, just show some boundaries. It's good to say no. You know, take care of yourself first. Take care of yourself first. Take care of number one first. And of course, we are supposed to have boundaries. And of course, we are supposed to take care of our families. Yes. But I can't afford to becomes an automatic response. Oh, I just can't. I just can't. And in our scripture, Paul starts, if you go back a few bit, if you're still there, in 2 Corinthians 9, you'll see in 8, he's talking to Macedonians. He's in Macedonia in northern Greece, and he's challenging them, or he's asking them, to give to the poor people in Jerusalem. And he's writing a letter to southern Greece, to Corinth, telling them, get ready, I'm coming to collect from you too, and be generous as well. And he's goading them a little bit, talking about Macedonia and saying how great they are at giving. And he says, they are poor in the beginning of chapter 8. They have many troubles, but they are generous. He says, for I can testify that they gave not only what they could afford, but far more. And they did it of their own free will. You see, generosity isn't real generosity if you say, well, I can afford it, it's extra, whatever. Generosity is generosity when you give your time, talents, and treasures, not just because it's surplus, but when you can't. But when you can't afford it. Generosity says, I can afford it. You might feel out, I can afford it, I can make time, I can be inconvenienced by this request right now or this person that wants to talk to me, I can be, because God is generous, even when it's inconvenient. I can be generous all the time in every way, even though my first response is, I don't want to, or I can't afford to. And in this series, we'll talk a little bit more about what stops us from being generous. My third question is, why should we? And we'll look at motivations. We've already talked about one. We should be generous because God is. So that's God's generosity, which Valerie's preaching. It's a basic point that God is generous, and our standard for that generosity is Jesus himself. In fact, Paul says, you know the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty he could make you rich. What does that mean? He became poor. How did he become poor? By dying. That's the ultimate poverty, is death. You give everything up. You don't get any poorer than dead. And thus, what happened? We became rich. We became rich. And did you know all you have to do to become rich, your lottery ticket in life, is to say yes to the very generous God-man. Say yes. I accept your generosity, Jesus. And how are we rich? Well, we're rich with eternal life. We're rich with eternity. And that leads to the second point, which is the heavenly treasure principle. Have you heard of this? Some things are forever. Some things in this life are forever. As the scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. Generosity is forever. Some things are forever. Money and possessions are not. They just aren't. Sorry. But we can convert earthly treasure into heavenly treasure. Did you know that? What a privilege to be able to change it, to transfer accounts, because we have a short life, and at the end, there's the pearly gates and judgment. And guess what? You can't take anything from here through those gates. Nothing you've got now in your house gets to go. The only thing that goes is the heavenly treasure that was actually sent on ahead of you. You already deposited it in the account through your generosity. We are generous because God's generous, because of heavenly treasure, because you reap what you... So, you know that expression. So, Paul might have been the source of this expression. He said, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You reap what you sow in heavenly treasure, and if you plant generously in your life, there will be a big kingdom crop. I want a big account up there in heaven. Number four is God owns everything. The Message translation of... Oh, first of all, for God is the one who provides. God, who's the one who owns everything. And the fact that he provides it shows us that he owns everything. Okay, and here's the Message translation. The most generous God, who gives seed to the farmer that becomes bread for your meals, is more than extravagant with you. He gives you something you can then give away. So that seed that becomes wheat, that we turn into flour, becomes bread, becomes this great meal in a restaurant. And have you ever had that moment? You're sitting down and you bite into fresh bread and you go, oh, thank you, Jeff. No, you go, thank you, God. We inherently know that this bread came from God. It's God's. It's God's. That skill that got you the job, that gets you the salary, that fills up the bank account, that turns into an RSP, that becomes an inheritance for your children, maybe. It started with God. He owns that too. The resources that made the machines that make our lives easier, that gives us time and leisure and opportunity and gives us opportunities to serve and volunteer, it all starts with God. He's the one who who gave us the resources. God owns everything, and that has huge consequences. Job says, everything under heaven belongs to God. And he gets specific. Let's look at some specific things. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. Okay, we know that. God, all the money is God's. How about your house? Does God own your house? The land is mine and you reside in my land as foreigners and strangers. Yes, your house belongs to God too. Okay, how about my body? I have the right to my body, right? That's big right now in our world. It's my body. I get to do with it as I please. You are not your own. You are bought at a price. Did you know that? God even owns your body. You are penniless. God owns everything. He owns everything in the world and the universe, and he owns you, all the money, the cattle on a thousand hills, the savings, the inheritances, the land, the houses, the people, the time of those people, us, our resources, the businesses, the opportunities. In effect, you know what? In effect, we are just managers. Who then is the faithful and wise manager whom the master puts in charge? Did you know that? We're just managers of what God owns. The mindset of the world is the gulls from Finding Nemo. Mine, mine. But that is unbiblical. What do you have that you did not receive? If then you received it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it? God owns everything. So here are some tests. Okay, I want you to test yourself. Here's the quiz. Do you ask God to show you what to do with the money and possessions he has lent you? Do you ask him to reveal his will about big purchases you make for him? It's his. Do you ask God how much money he wants you to keep? Give, yes, but better, keep. How much do I get to keep? See, if you always do what you want, then you view yourself as the owner. But your body, money, possessions, career, time, talents, everything, it all belongs to God, and he has the right to do with it whatever he wants. This is very different. This might be jarring because it's very different from what our society tells us. It's completely different. But to be a Christian means to think differently. And if you ever see things as belonging to you, then you are going to be selfish and get all twisted when those emails come in. But if you see everything as belonging to God, you're going to distribute it easily, aren't you? It's going to be so easy. Oh, I get to give to that. Oh, I get to donate my time to that. I get to do this. Ah, God, cool. So we'll discuss more motivations and specific applications of generosity in future sermons. That was just the quick overview. But I got to end here today and say, thank God for generosity. Paul says it like this. He says, thank God for this gift, too wonderful for words. And I'm so thankful to be a part of a generous church. And that's not just fake praise. We've had 27 years of ministry here, blessing this community, changing countless lives, sending aid overseas to many different places, supporting so many different missionaries, having the word preached. That's us. And Christians as a whole, we are known for being generous. I'm so thankful that generosity is a part of God, right? I get to be generous. You know, I'm in the community and people find out I'm a pastor and they say, And we'd start talking about the church, and if we've got time, they eventually get to, so who pays you? Like, how does your church get money? Does the government give you money? And I go, no, the government does give us money. Does the Pope give you money? No, the Pope, that's the wrong, anyway. No, they don't. Where do you get your money? I say, the people. Us. We are generous. Our budget as a church is $300,000. That blows my mind how generous we are with our time. Look at all the jobs that are happening all the time in the church, in the community. Generous. For the church, for missions, for the poor, for justice in all its forms, many of you are involved in work, and I would say all of you are, actually, involved in work where you're asked to be generous in different ways, in justice, in stewardship, and we'll talk about that more. One recent statistic I read about Christians giving in 2022, about 4% on average per capita. A recent Canadian average, 0.6%. If you like numbers, it shows you Christians are generous. Aren't you thankful that Christians are generous? And volunteerism, the same. I'm the volunteer coordinator. I can't tell you the number of times I have not been surprised to find out that volunteers on my list are Christians. I was Gordon Nathan Mills in our church. I first met them at the rink in Edgemont, had arranged a bunch of volunteers to do the ice, whatever, winter carnival a couple of years ago. And we were chatting and they were telling about all of their volunteering, and by the way, we're Christians. I wasn't surprised. I help at the Breakfast Club here in Edgeburn Lane in North Calgary, in North Edgemont. And there's a doctor that serves, helps with the handing out of food. A doctor? How in the world does she have time to do this? And I'm talking to her. Shocker. She's a Christian. And generosity is a sign of faith. It's a sign of God. So as you do your taxes, I want you to thank God for each tax receipt. And say, thank you, God, for that. That you gave me the money that is yours, and I got to put it to work. Or maybe this is a reminder that be planning for the next year. What are the areas? Whether or not, listen, whether or not you get a tax receipt. That was the point of the first story. Whether or not there's a gratitude for the volunteer hours that's, you know, you get an award of some kind. Regardless of the kudos that come back at you, are you generous? Think about time, talent, and as we begin this series, remember we are generous because of God. Because God himself is generous. We have treasure on earth that we want to turn into heavenly treasure because you reap what you sow. God owns everything. Thank you, God, for generosity. Thank you, God. So, last question. What has God lent you? Jason, I'll ask you to bring up the last one there and say a prayer and ask yourself, what has God lent you that you've been able to be generous with? Who have you helped? I'm going to give you a minute here just to think about it as the band comes up. Who have you helped? What gifts have you given? Talents, love, interests, all the things that we brainstormed there. What's your favorite area of generosity? That was given to you by God. Where do you love to give? Where do you love to donate? Where do you love to volunteer? Or where have you, and I'm talking about any time in your life. Just thank God for each one. Take a minute now, and we'll end with that. Just thanking God for his generosity. God, for these gifts, too wonderful for words. We are generous because you are generous, O God. Not because it's in me, but it's because of Christ in me. Yet not I, but through 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 Christ in me. Goodness, thank you for this day. Thank you for our church. Thank you for our family. Thank you for our friends. Thank you for your gifts. Thank you for your talents. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your opportunities. Thank you for your provision. Thank you for your care. Thank you for your love, oh God. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you, church. Go be Christ in our community.